Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
It's Easter Sunday, and our scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 6. The text says, "He is not here, he is risen." This text, of course, was given to the women who had come out to anoint Jesus' body, and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the front of the tomb, and they met these angels who gave them this great news that he is not here, that he has risen from the dead. This is the best news for Christians that we could ever hear. The fact that Jesus not only came to die and bear our sins in his own body as he hung on the tree, but that he was buried, he was dead, and he rose again on the third day, and he's alive, and he's alive even today. And the power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that is available to each one of us today to serve Christ. And we are so thankful that God has loved us, has cared for us, has given us a Savior, a provision for our sins, has redeemed us by his own precious blood, and we serve a risen Savior who is alive today, who's active in the world's affairs, and is active in each one of our lives. And as we walk with him, as we sense his presence, as we dig deep into his word and sense his presence, he transforms us, he opens doors for us, and he uses us in a mighty way in this dark generation. What a great privilege we have to serve this risen Savior.
Hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's unwavering commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their heartfelt outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Two of our European missionaries are retired from their church ministry and now serve the Lord through discipleship and encouragement. They shared the following stories with us one time recently when we were walking through a London shopping mall. A Caribbean lady called out, "Pastor David." She said that we might not remember her, but that she attended our church, Christian Center, over 17 years ago, but she eventually moved to North London. She said that I had preached a message one Sunday that had ended up changing her life. She had oftentimes wondered what negative course her life might have taken had she not heard and responded to that message. Another time recently at Royal London Hospital, one of the grandsons, who was about 19 years old, of the Asian lady we were visiting, came up to us and said that we might not recognize him now, since we had not seen him for quite a few years. His grandmother, whom we had had the privilege of leading to Jesus Christ from her Sikh religious and cultural background, used to bring him to our church Christian Center on many occasions when he was a young boy. He said that a very vivid memory that he still has to this day, which he said still impacts his life as if it had just happened yesterday, was the memory of the Christmas meals that he had attended with hundreds of other people and lots of other children running around everywhere and eating all that he could ever want, even seconds, thirds, and fourths. He said that it was such a wonderful and joyous occasion that took place at the Christian Center, which he still often thinks about. We know that what this grandson, whose family are still all Sikhs, was sensing at those events at our church was the unconditional love and grace of God's people and the Spirit of the Lord that was at work in that place through the lives of believers in Christ. Still another time during a recent walk while we were in London, an Asian young lady, whom we somewhat recognize, came out of her house and exclaimed, "Pastor." She said that nearly 23 years ago that I had preached a message at our church during the Tamil-speaking church service, which had been translated by the Tamil-speaking pastor, that had totally changed the direction of her life to this day. She said that she oftentimes thinks about us and about how her life had so dramatically changed. Of course, it was the power of the Holy Spirit working through the declaration of the truth of God's word that had changed her life. The Lord no doubt allows these occasional and unexpected experiences to bolster our faith and encourage us in our daily service for Him, knowing that we must do so by faith, being certain of what we do not see.
As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the love of God. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages. They're building genuine relationships and meeting needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God. And it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. This April, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about goodness, a devotion series by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit. The Greek word agathos describes how a person who is good in character or constitution will benefit others. Good and goodness are two very different words. We like to think what we do is good. Before we consider being good and doing good, we will need a working definition of goodness. God has set the measuring rod and standard, not humans. God is the measure of all things, including goodness and what it means. So, we will attempt to start with an understanding of God's goodness as a harvest of the Spirit's working in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Goodness, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario. Postal code L2R7A7 or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled, The Bible and Resurrection. I know you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Let me greet you this happy resurrection morning with the words of the angel spoken to the women who came to the tomb. Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Matthew 28. That was the happy scene 2,000 years ago, when the joyous truth that sin and death had been conquered forever by our Lord Jesus Christ. He was dead, but is alive forevermore. I would like to talk with you for a few moments today on the theme, the Bible and the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is undoubtedly the most significant event in the history of mankind. Its effects are felt far beyond the first resurrection morning. The very fact that the resurrection holds such a weighty place in the Bible testifies to its great significance and importance. We take the Bible today and investigate this great triumphant truth. First, our investigation will reveal that the Old Testament predicted the resurrection of Christ. In Psalm 16, King David writes by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit and gives both his personal belief in resurrection as well as predicting the resurrection of Christ. David wrote, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore my heart is glad. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Here we have David's personal testimony to a belief in resurrection. He said his flesh would rest in hope. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, this is a clear prophecy that God's Holy One, that is Messiah, would not be in the grave long enough to see corruption. Jesus, Israel's Messiah, died on the cross for man's sins, but did not see corruption, for he was raised up the third day, just as the scriptures predicted. Peter, speaking to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, referred to this very psalm in Acts 2, when he said, David, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. So David predicted Christ's resurrection some 1,000 years before Christ's birth. Then the Old Testament illustrates or pictures Christ's resurrection in many ways. In Leviticus 14, for instance, Israel was given a very intriguing ceremony that was to take place whenever a leper recovered from the disease of leprosy. Verse 4 says that after a complete investigation by a priest, if the leper is indeed healed, then he, it says, that is the priest, shall command to take for him to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel. Verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall dip the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed. Verse 7, he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, this interesting ceremony concerning leprosy teaches us a great deal. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. Israel was taught in different ways that cleansing from sin was only possible through the shedding of blood. The Passover lamb, for instance, was slain to deliver them from the bondage of Egypt. In this ceremony, a bird was slain and its blood sprinkled on the cured leper before he could enter back into the fellowship of God's people. How perfectly this speaks of Christ, who suffered unto death on the cross to cleanse man of his sin and enable him to be restored into the fellowship with God. The second bird was then dipped in the blood of the slain bird and released to fly heavenward, not only totally free, but bearing that precious sacrifice, that blood, up towards the heavens. So Christ not only died for our sins, but he rose again the third day that he might bear that precious blood that was shed for the sins of the world up heavenward to appear before God. Hebrews 9:24 says, For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The first bird was slain, and so Christ died for our sins on the cross. But the second bird was freed, and rising up into the heavens, he bore the blood of the sacrifice heavenward. So Christ rose from the grave and bore that precious blood up into the sanctuary in heaven to testify forever that salvation is complete. It's available to all who confess their sins and seek cleansing in his atoning sacrifice. Israel was taught then, 1,400 years before the coming of Christ, that cleansing from sin can come only through death and resurrection. The feasts of Israel also pictured Christ's death and resurrection. God commanded Israel to keep seven great feasts each year. The first was the Passover feast, where a lamb was slain commemorating Israel's deliverance from Egypt's bondage. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus to Israel, it was with the words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." John 1:29. Christ, at the very beginning of his ministry, identified with the Passover lamb, indicating he would die a sacrificial death. This was fulfilled on the cross, and Paul declares, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15. Then on the third day, the Feast of First Fruits occurred. Leviticus 23:10 says that a priest was to take the first sheaf of harvest and wave it up from side to side, representing not only Israel, but all of the world. This pictures the resurrection and the future harvest that would come from Christ's resurrection. Christ at Passover died to pay for man's sin, but that was not the end. His death was like a seed placed in the ground, and it sprang up into a great sheaf of new life on the third day. The Apostle Paul must have been thinking of this when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So in these and many other ways, death and resurrection was predicted in Scripture. The Messiah's death and resurrection was illustrated also in Scripture. Jonah, for instance, was a rebellious prophet. Instead of obeying God's word, he took a ship going in the opposite direction. God, as you know, sent a storm. Jonah was cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Jonah repented and prayed for deliverance. And the third day, the fish got sick and cast him out on the land. Jonah not only learned obedience, but his miraculous deliverance became a picture or type of Christ. For Jesus said in Matthew 12:40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Jonah's bitter experience with the whale and his subsequent deliverance was used of God to illustrate Messiah's bitter death, but then his resurrection. God can even make the wrath of man to praise him. Messiah's death and resurrection is pictured throughout the Old Testament and is completely fulfilled in the New Testament. Christ's death and resurrection was clearly part then of God's wonderful plan of redemption for sinful man. What was predicted and pictured in the Old Testament was completely fulfilled in the New. When Christ died, it seemed to the disciples that all was lost. They were totally discouraged, disheartened, and disillusioned. They were weak and fearful, ready to leave their former vision of serving the great Messiah, and then fading back into the woodwork, as it were, to their former occupations. But then Jesus appeared to them. They were stunned and unbelieving. They talked with him. They ate with him. They touched him and became totally convinced of his resurrection. This transformed them from weaklings into boldly facing even the murderers of Christ with their evil deeds. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and declared, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him, as ye yourselves know, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death." This is surely a different Peter than the one who denied Jesus and forsook him. He is bold, clear, committed, and convincing. What caused the change? Well, it was the truth that Christ was alive. That changed him and all the early church as well. They were filled with joy. They were filled with the truth. And they were filled with the challenge of Jesus to go and tell they did. When Rome insisted on their acceptance of its emperor as being God, that was an affront to them and blasphemy. They gladly laid down their lives for the sake of God's truth, that Christ alone was God. Friends, the transformation in the lives of the early believers and the transformation in the lives of every true believer since is one of the greatest proofs that Christ is alive. In Christ, you can not only be forgiven, but you can find a power beyond anything human that can enable you to live a God-glorifying life. Jesus is alive and imparts new life, spiritual life, to those who come to him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5. Christ's resurrection has serious consequences for us today. First, it shows there is a God, for only God could raise Christ from the dead. Then it shows that Christ's sacrifice for sin was totally sufficient and satisfactory to God, or he would never have raised him up from the dead. We can be assured today that salvation in Christ is acceptable to God, for he planned it and provided it. Then we can be sure of eternal life, for Christ died and is alive forevermore. He has promised, "Because I live, ye shall live also." John 14 and 19. These gracious words can give us peace and an undying hope in a world riddled by sickness, sorrow, and death. Like the little bird dipped in blood, the believer in Christ will one day know the joy of freedom from sin and the happiness of soaring on the homeward journey to the Father's house. The hymn writer has eloquently described it. "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. God and his precious sacrifice will be sufficient to see us safely to our eternal home. Will you not trust him today as your personal Lord and Savior?"
As we draw this broadcast to a close during the Easter season, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28-29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of his love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also remember to order your copy of the booklet, Goodness, a Devotion Series, 9 Fruits of the Spirit, by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23, to order your copy of the booklet, Goodness, a Devotion Series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, feel free to contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.